Embrace Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who dwells among us, guiding and sustaining us through every step of life's journey. This is the fourth message in the series, Hallowed Be Your Name, Discovering the God of Promises. The message is entitled, The God Who is Present.
Those of you who are online want to say thank you for joining with us as well. And as Pastor Dale said, my name is Justin. I'm part of the team here at Church of the Redeemer, and it is a privilege and an honor to be with you today. And thank you, Pastor Dale, for giving me the opportunity to share with you. And like he said, we are in the middle of a series, week four of a series called Hallowed Be Your Name. Now I have a question for you, all right? How many of you guys have ever, right, introduced yourself or somebody has given you their name and then you forgot their name, yeah? Okay, the last servant, they didn't even want to answer. They were so embarrassed. So thank you for your honesty, right? It's happened to all of us. So we've all known somebody's name and then walked away and forgot their name, maybe sometimes immediately, right? Well, the names of God are very important. You can see that as you engage in Scripture. You'll see the different names of God. You have Elohim, you have Adonai, and then we have the name that we're studying in this series, Jehovah, which is just a form of Yahweh, and we're studying the eight compound names of God. And I think God might know that we as humans, we might forget some things, right? We might forget some names, and God doesn't want us to forget his name. And so he's attached. Sometimes they tell you, you know, if you want to remember somebody's name, just remember something else about them, right? And so in a way, God has revealed himself to his people, the Israelites, eight ways, specific ways that he attaches something to his name so that we don't forget certain aspects of his character. You see, one name, God's just too big. One name can't fully describe God. And so the first week in this series, we learned about Jehovah Jireh. You remember that? Pastor Dale taught us that. What does that mean? That God is provider, right? And I've heard testimonies. Maybe you have your own testimony in your life where God has revealed himself to you in a very specific way so that you wouldn't forget his name, Jehovah Jireh. And we even learned from Gary, right? Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And so God revealed his name as healer, Jehovah Rapha. Last week, Sam taught us about Jehovah Nissi, the God who fights for us. And maybe you have your own testimony of God fighting a battle on your behalf, right? And today we're going to be talking about Jehovah Shammah. Everybody say that together. Ready? Jehovah Shammah, right? Which means the Lord is there or God is present. Now, this name was revealed to God's people, the Israelites, by a prophet named Ezekiel, right? It's the very last words of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48. But for us to really understand this name of God, the Lord is there, let's take a step back and see what was happening to Israel as a nation at that point. Now, Israel, they were a wishy-washy people, all right? They kind of would, in their devotion to God, they would follow God, then they would follow other gods. They would worship God, then they would worship other gods. And it was just kind of this total disaster relationship there. And so God finally took a step back and he said, all right, Israelites, you know, if you want to do this on your own, you can. And so the Israelites were like, okay, we'll do this on our own. And from that moment forward, God kind of withdrew his presence from the Israelite people. And the Assyrians came and they attacked the northern kingdom of Israel, right, where the 10 tribes were. The Assyrians came and pulled them into exile. And the Babylonians, they came and they attacked the southern part of Israel that we know as Judah, right? And they pulled them into Babylon in exile. And in that attack, in that siege by King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, they decimated the holy city, Jerusalem. They destroyed it. I mean, they wiped it out. They wiped out the temple of God. They tore it to the ground. And they pulled Israel out of their hometown, sent them in exile to Babylon. And now the Israelites find themselves in a place where they don't have a home. They don't have a nation. They don't have a temple. And they're without God's presence. And they're feeling like God deserted them. Like God, like they were alone, that they have been abandoned by God. Have you ever felt that way before? Have you ever felt that you've been in a situation where your back's against the wall, where you feel all alone by yourself, maybe far from God? You see, Harvard, they did a recent study, and the results of that study determined that one out of three individuals that they studied struggle with loneliness at least once a week. At least one out of three individuals struggle with loneliness at least once a week. Can you turn to your left? Say hi to that neighbor on your left. Turn to your right. Say hi to that neighbor on your right. That's three people right there. One, if not all of us, have struggled with loneliness. And what that tells us is that at some point during your week, in the midst of being surrounded by so many things, in the midst of being surrounded by your family, you've felt alone. And maybe in this week, this last week even, that you felt alone as a parent. Maybe you felt alone as a wife. Maybe you felt alone as a husband. Maybe you're the CEO of your company and you've felt alone. Maybe even in your friendships, maybe even in this place amongst all of us, you felt alone. You see, the same message that Ezekiel brought to the Israelites in that moment, right, I bring to you today, that God is Jehovah Shema. He is the Lord that is there. So Ezekiel shows up in Babylon to minister to these people, and he promises them. He's a messenger from God, and he's promising them, I know that your city is destroyed. I know that your temple is destroyed, and I, God, am going to build you a new city, a new Jerusalem, and I'm going to build you a new temple. And it brings us to the very last verse of Ezekiel, where he says this in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35, and it says, from that day, the name of that city, this new city, will be called Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. And that was God's promise to his people, that you do not have to fear, because no matter what the circumstances, I will always be with you. God will be present in your life. And so today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to give us three truths about God's presence for us. And the first one of this is that God wants to be with you. God wants to be with you. There's nothing more than God wants than to be with you. How do we know this? How do we know that God wants to be with us? Well, one, God's presence is personal. God's a personal God. He's not a long-distance God. He's not trying to keep you at arm's length. As a matter of fact, God came down from heaven to earth. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. So Jesus came, fully God, fully man, to this earth to prove that he is a personal God. So he gave us Jesus. Let's look at this in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. You see, God didn't just stay on a throne in heaven. He came down to earth to prove that his presence is personal. The second thing is he gave us his Holy Spirit. He gave us his Holy Spirit. So when Jesus paid for our sins by being nailed to the cross, he took on the sins of all humanity. He was nailed to a cross. He suffered. He was beaten. He was died. He was buried. And he rose again on the third day. And now he sits on the right hand of the Father. And Jesus knew that that point was coming where he would ascend back into heaven. And he told his disciples, he told his followers, look, I am going to send you a helper. That I will always be with you, and I will send you a helper, and that is his Holy Spirit. Listen to this in John 1 chapter 4, verse 13, it says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. You see, there's nothing more personal than that, than the living God living on the inside of us. God's presence is very personal in our lives. It's also personal because he sees us and he cares for us. In this room, there's probably hundreds, if not 1,000 different circumstances, very unique circumstances that each and every one of us are walking through, different than anybody else. And God is such a personal God that he's not dealing with us in a broad stroke. He's dealing it with us in a very personal way. He sees us and he cares for us. We all know about the Old Testament characters, Abraham and Sarah, right? God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Many nations are going to come out of you, and I'm going to bless the seed of Abraham. And the nation of Israel was birthed out of Abraham's seed. But the problem with this promise is that Sarah, his wife, couldn't bear children. You remember that story? Sarah couldn't bear children, and so she had this bright idea. She had a maidservant named Hagar. And so she goes to her husband and she says, all right, Abraham, I can't have children, but let's take things in our own hands. Let's not trust God and his promises. Let's just take them in our own hands. And why don't you and Hagar, right? You can bear children through Hagar and hopefully God will bless that. Well, it was Sarah's idea. Abraham and Hagar, they have a child together. Hagar becomes pregnant and guess who didn't like it? Sarah. Sarah didn't like it. It was her idea, and the Bible says that Sarah started to treat Hagar harshly. So she just started to turn her back on her, and Hagar finds herself in a situation. She didn't ask for it. She just got put in this situation, right? And she cries out to God, and let's look at how God shows his personal care for her. It says in Genesis chapter 16, it says, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Can I remind you this morning from scripture that God sees you? He sees your situation. You may not have asked to be in that situation. You trouble may have found you. Or maybe you have found trouble. That's okay, because God sees you. He's a personal God. He's going to deal with your situation in a very personal way, just like he did with Hagar. He will do it for you. God's presence is personal. And we also know that his presence is personal because he calls us by our name. Do you know God knows your name? The Bible says that actually God knows the hairs on your head. My kids remind me that he also knows the hairs that aren't on your head. Right? Some of you can relate. But God knows our name. He knows everything about us. He calls us by our name. When God draws us in, he calls me. He says, Justin, come be with me. He knows my name. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 43. It says, don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end because I am God, your personal God. The Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. This is how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation for you. God's presence is personal. He loves you. He wants to be with you. The second thing we know on why God wants to be with us is because God's presence is a promise. His presence is a promise. When I was in college, I had the privilege of going around and spending some time in the summer with different branches of the military, and just to see how they train and the different things that they do. And one of the opportunities that I had is to go spend some time with the Navy SEALs. And one of the things that they do, I got invited to be a part of a training evolution that they did, just to be a part of it. One of the things they do, it's called sharking, and they get all the people that they're going to be training, and they give them all this gear. They give them goggles, swim goggles. They give them a snorkel. They give them fins. They give them various gear, and they tell you, hey, we're going to be swimming around in this big, deep pool, and if you come up for air without using this snorkel, you're out. You fail out. You can't be a part. And so they just go until the last person stands. And all of a sudden, we got about 30, 40 people in here swimming around in this big deep pool, breathing out of snorkels. And an instructor comes and pulls you under the water. And he comes and he holds you down to the point where you start to panic. And he starts taking your goggles off. He starts trying to take your snorkel from you. He starts pulling your fins out from underneath you to see if he can take anything that he can from you so that you would fail. Well, I got some insider information before I showed up there. And somebody told me, he said, look, when they start taking you down under the water, the one thing that you need to hold on to with dear life is that snorkel. So when that instructor comes and you're under that water, they may be taking everything else. You just let them take everything else. But that snorkel, you hold that close to you. And you wrap that up and you hold on to that for dear life. Because then when you come up, then you have something to breathe through. You see, that's what the promises of God are in our life. They're like this snorkel. And the enemy comes, different situation in our life, and he pulls us under. And it seems like life and circumstances are just over our head and we're getting pulled under and things are getting ripped out of our lives. But the same insider information that I got, I give to you. You hold on to that promise. You hold on to that snorkel because that is the promise of God. And God's name, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, the Lord is present, is just not a label on the Lord's chest. So you can know who he is. It's a promise that you have in your hand that you can use against the enemy. So God wants to be with you. God wants to be with us, okay? The second truth is this. Enjoying God's presence involves making right choices. So we're all familiar with God's omnipresence. God's everywhere. God sees everything. We can't escape the presence of God. When we think that we're hiding from God, God still sees us. When we think we're getting away with something, God still sees us. He's the omnipresent God. We can't escape that. But there's the active presence of God working in our life that I want to talk about for a moment. If we're going to experience that active presence of God, we have to make right choices. And making right choices, making different choices, it may require some change. It may require a change in behavior or decision making, right? And change can be awkward, can it? It can be funky to deal with change. Everybody, take your hands together, right? Put your pins down and just grasp your fingers together like that, right? Feels pretty normal, right? We've all done this 1,000 times. Feels good. But now switch your hands, just one. Just move your fingers, just one. Take it out and move it, right? Feels a little awkward, doesn't it? Feels a little awkward. Take your arms. Now fold your arms together, right? Feels pretty good, right? Done it 1,000 times. Feels normal. Now switch it. I got the last service too, so. It feels a little awkward, doesn't it? Change can be awkward. Just that small amount of change. This didn't feel bad because this is what I do all the time. But I want to encourage us today that to experience more of God's presence, it may require a little bit of change in behavior. It may require a little bit of change in our choices, and it's going to feel awkward, and that's okay. Because here's what I know. I know that most people are more comfortable with old ways than they are with new possibilities. And God has new possibilities for you today. And it may require us to change some things. So I want to give us 7 things that we can change, or 7 attributes, 7 actions that we can take to attract God's presence in our life. And the first one is this: faith. God responds to faith. Faith is just believing in something that we cannot see. It's the substance that we need even to receive God's presence in our life. The Bible even says that we walk our life out. We walk it out by faith, not by sight. People of faith attract God's presence. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Let me reverse that. With faith, it brings God pleasure. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Maybe that little change that you need in your life is more faith. Number 2, humility. You know, God hates prideful people. God is repulsed by haughtiness. He refuses to fellowship with arrogance. He's attracted to people who are humble and contrite and broken and submitted. Isaiah 57, 15 says this, "I am the high and holy God who lives forever. I live in a high and holy place, but I also," listen to this, "but I also live with," or my presence is with, "people who are humble and repentant so that I can restore their confidence and hope." You see, God is attracted. He comes and he dwells with people who are humble. Number 3, holiness. Holiness. You know, I think in our culture today, holiness has kind of become a dirty word. When I was growing up in the Christian circles, they would call Christians holy rollers, right? But you know what? Holiness is not a dirty word. It's actually a very clean word. And it actually just means to be set apart. And God is a holy God. He's set apart from any other God. And he wants us to live holy lives so that we can experience his presence. And all that means is that we know the difference between what is unclean and what is clean. That we can set those things in our part. We have the maturity to understand where light is coming into our life or where we're inviting darkness into our life. You see, that's holy living. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says this. It says, don't you know that your body is a temple that belongs to the Holy Spirit? Isn't in today's culture, everybody thinks that everything belongs to them. The Holy Spirit, whom you receive from God, lives in you. You do not belong to yourself. That's a counterculture statement right there. It's from the Bible. You were bought for a price, so bring glory to God in the way that you use your body. In other ways, set your life apart. Let your decisions, let your choices, let the things that you watch, let the things that you listen to, let that be set apart. Invite, separate the clean from the filthy in our life. Amen? Number four, hunger. We're talking about the seven things that are attracting God's presence. Number four, hunger. God responds to people who are hungry for his presence. When we seek his presence with a passion, he promises to reveal his glory and his presence to us. Jeremiah 29:13, listen to this. You will search for me. And when you search for me with part of your heart, is that what it says? No. And when you search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. You see, to search with all of your heart, there's got to be a hunger on the inside of us. You got to want to. There's got to be a desire. There's got to be this drive. The psalmist writes, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul, it longs for you. It's a picture of hunger and seeking after God's presence. The next one, number five, is love. If we want to abide, if we want the abiding presence of the Lord, we must choose to walk in love with others. Wherever there's love, there is God. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, no one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, where does God dwell? He dwells deeply within us. His presence is in us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. Number six, worship. We must be active worshipers if we want to enjoy the active presence of God in our life. You see, active worship may require me to open my mouth. Passive worship is just standing here like this, just being happy, being a spectator. Well, worship is not a spectator thing. Worship is an active thing, involving. It may require me to engage a little bit, to show some level of involvement or engagement, clapping my hands, lifting my hands up, opening my eyes up a little bit, opening my mouth and speaking God's praise. In Psalm 118, verses 19 through 20, it says, open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go up, or I will go in and thank the Lord, or I will worship the Lord. Those gates, what do? They lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. When we actively engage in worship, we are being led into the presence of God through the gates of our thanksgiving, through the gates of praise. Number seven, faithfulness. You know, God is a faithful God, and he wants to be with faithful people. God wants to be around. He loves to be around the around people who value the things that he does, and God values faithfulness. The Bible says that God will be faithful to complete the good work that he began in you. He ain't giving up on you. You see, our faithfulness is seen in the way that we show up, the way that we do our work, the way that we're faithful in our responsibilities as a husband, our responsibilities as wives, our responsibilities as a parent, our responsibilities as good employees or bosses. God loves faithfulness, and his presence is with people who are faithful. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as we first believe, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. All that belongs to Christ. That means that we will share in his presence as well. You see, when I was a kid, my dad would kind of joke with me when I came to him and told him that I lost something. Parents, you could probably relate to this. How many times have your kids said, hey, mom, dad, have you seen my shoes? Right? Many times, right? And my dad would joke with me, and I would go and say, hey, dad, have you seen my shoes? And he said, hey, you know what? I bet you it's where you had them last. And he was right. They were exactly where I left them. But a lot of us sometimes have this notion that we've lost God. Can I tell you, you haven't lost God. And maybe I can share with you maybe how my dad would share with me. Maybe God is where you left him last. When's the last time that you were so faithful that it drew the presence of God into your life? When was the last time that you expressed faith to the degree that it attracted God in your life? When was the last time you were so hungry for God that it attracted God into your life? You see, God is not lost. He is with us. And there's certain behaviors that we can do to enjoy the presence of God. Amen? Number three, if you're taking notes, the last truth here is that God's presence brings God's benefits. You know, good things happen where God's presence resides. You know, miracles happen when God shows up. You know, the enemy cannot advance anymore when God's presence is there. Good things happen. There's benefits. There's blessings when God's presence is seen in our lives. The psalmist says that God daily loads us with benefits. He daily loads us with benefits. In the Old Testament, there's a story or there's a symbolic representation of the presence of God. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. And David, he wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem to establish a more permanent place for the Ark and for the presence of God to reside. But they mishandled the presence of God. And long story short, some tragedy happened, and David found this man called Obed-Edom. And he was a Levite, he was a priest, and he had some knowledge of respecting and knowing how to reverence the presence of God. And so David left the Ark of the Covenant in this man's house for 3 months and listened to what the Bible says happened in just those 3 months. In 2 Samuel, it says, the Ark of the Lord stayed in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord did what? He blessed Obed-Edom and all his family. You know, God's presence, just the fact that God's presence was there, good things happened in that house. So much to the point that when David came back and took the ark to Jerusalem, Obed-Edom said, I ain't staying here. I'm going there. I'm going with the presence. He followed him. You see, but there's certain benefits and blessings in our life. And as we close here today, I want to give you five of those that we can experience from having the presence of God in our life. And that is, the first one is true transformation in our life. When we experience the presence of God, we can't stay the same. We're marked. We're different. We're distinguished. We're set apart. When people look at us, they should see something different because we've been in the presence of the Lord. Moses is an Old Testament character, Old Testament figure that sought the presence of God. And he goes to God in Exodus and he asks him, listen, look at this. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us, or unless your presence is with us? What else will distinguish me from and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said, I will be with you. My presence will distinguish you. You see, they will be able to recognize that you're different, that you're set apart, and that's what God's presence does. It breaks things off our life. There's true transformation that happens. Number two is we get confidence. We get confidence. Knowing that the Lord is always with you, that you will not be shaken, and that he is right beside you should give you some confidence that the Lord, that he is here, he is there. I remember one time when I was getting bullied in elementary school, and the bully, some kid, he was like, all right, this is going to, we're going down. We're going to be fighting. He wanted to fight me. And I'm like, all right, I guess we're doing this thing. And so we're all after school meeting up, and this thing is happening, right? Well, for whatever reason, that day, my dad decided to pick me up from school. And here we are, we're all in this circle, and this bully kid is standing right in front of me, and I all of a sudden just know, like, man, he's got the fear on his face, like he's shrinking back. Man, I got a little confident. I'm like, all right, I guess we're going to do this. But what I didn't know is that my dad was standing right behind me. And he was shaking his head like this. This ain't going down today, is what he was saying. And that bully just, he left me alone. Can I tell you that a lot of times the devil comes, tries to bully your life, tries to bully you, and you know who's standing behind you? Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. And he's got his arms folded and he's saying, not today, devil. You're not gonna mess with my child. You see, it's not because of anything that we've done, it's because the Lord of Heaven's army is present with us. And it's not that we have all this confidence, it's because we have Godfidence, that God is with us, amen? Number three, we get help and favor. How many of you guys have ever needed help or favor in your life? Yeah, all the time. We need help and favor. The presence of God brings a timely help. He brings timely favor into our life. It's a benefit and blessing of being in the presence of the Lord. Joseph, we all know the story of Joseph, how he was wrongly accused so many different times in the Bible of some things that he did not do. Joseph was a man of integrity, and he got accused. He got into situations that were not his fault. But because God's presence was with him, he succeeded. God gave him favor, even in prison. In Genesis 39, we see this, that the Lord was with Joseph. His presence was with Joseph. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. You see, it's the same thing in your life. God's help and favor is there to help you with the presence of God, with Jehovah Shammah being present in your life. Psalm 118 says this, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. God wants to help you. His presence is there to bring the favor and the help that you need in your situation. Number four here, we're almost done, is boldness. In our culture today, Christians need more boldness. But not just any boldness, not reckless boldness. We need God boldness in our life. And the thing that the presence of God brings to us is a refinement of that boldness, a tactfulness in that boldness, a boldness that we can stand up for God, not that it draws attention to us, but that it brings glory to him. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power or boldness. The Holy Spirit is coming upon every believer, is meant to come to every believer to give the believer boldness and power. In Acts chapter 4, a description of Peter and John, the disciples of Jesus. Listen to how an outsider would describe seeing Peter and John. It says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. You see, when people look at our lives, they should see the boldness of Christ. They should go and say, oh, there's an ordinary man. Oh, man, there's an ordinary woman. But man, they are bold for the Lord. They don't have any special training, but I can see that they're bold for Jesus. Amen. Last one here is the presence of God. The presence of God, a blessing that it brings into our life is security. God's presence brings with it security through problems, through devastations, through the questions that we have, through the confusions that we have. We even can have security in the midst of physical death. 2 years ago, my mom passed away, November 1st, 2021, very sudden. And I have three sisters, and we were just all shocked. The Lord took my mom away from us, and in that moment, I had a lot of questions. So many different questions, so many hurts, so many things to just process through. And I've been a believer following Christ, pretty much my whole life at this point. And yet to come to that place to feel so alone. And I thought I needed an answer to a question. I thought I needed God to answer, God, why? I didn't need that in that moment, and God knew that. God's presence in my life brought a security to me that I could never have known in that midst of my darkest hour. And I realized that the security that I had, that God could be there in heaven, and my mom could be there, but God is yet still here. And it's the same in your life. There's things, questions you're not gonna be able to answer. But in your darkest hour, God's presence will bring with it a security to know that God is above all, he's there. But God also is here in your life. In Psalm 23, verse 4, listen to this. It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. God will do that for you. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is the Lord that is there, the Lord that is present in your life. So what did we learn today? We learned that God is present, that he's here with us. He's never gonna leave us. And that God wants to be with you. He's a personal God. His name is a promise for you. But if we wanna enjoy the presence of God in our life, there may be some awkward changes that we gotta make, right? Some changes in our life, small changes, and they may feel uncomfortable, but they're gonna bring in the presence of God in your life like never before. And when that happens, your life is gonna experience the benefits and the blessings of God like you've never experienced before in your life. God will do that for you today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for who you are today. You are Jehovah Shammah. You are here with us. You are present in this moment. In fact, the Bible says that where two or more are gathered in your name, you'll be there in their midst. And so we know you're here with us. God, every circumstance, every situation represented here today, I pray that the Lord who is present would begin to minister, would begin to work, would begin to provide, would begin to heal, would begin to fight, would begin to be there for every person in this place. And so I thank you for that today, God, that as we leave today, we can be assured, God, that you are walking with us, that you are right by our side in the mountains and in the valleys, in Jesus' name.
I would like to close today by giving you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me right now? Right where you are, just simply bow your head with me, and I'm going to give you a prayer to pray, and you can simply speak this prayer out, whisper this prayer out, and from the sincerity of your heart, call upon God, and I promise you that he will hear and answer you. So let's pray together. Start by simply whispering the name Jesus. Let there come from your heart just the declaration of his name. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short with you. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are God's Son. I believe that you are the Savior of the world. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave, that you are alive today. Now pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start in you. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says that when we call upon God's name, we call upon the Son of God, there is salvation that comes to our lives. He changes us from the inside out, and you become a new creation. old things pass away, all things become new. And that's exactly what has happened to you today. Your next step really is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church. And you begin to study God's Word, get God's Word in you, and to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible if you don't have one and begin to read it. Spend some time every day in prayer. And I would encourage you also to check out the resources on our website that will help you to get going in your relationship with Jesus. You can find them at church-redeemer.org. Get those into your hands. Get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. May God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.